You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Diamonds Direct Spring Sale starts this weekend. Get 20% off rings, earrings, pendants, bracelets, and more. It's the best store-wide sale of the season. Plus, book an appointment and get an additional $100 off. That's 20% off plus $100 off store-wide. And enjoy an expanded selection of the latest styles with designer appearances each weekend. Tons of engagement rings on sale, too. 20% off starts Friday and opens Sundays. Details at DiamondsDirect.com.
From the Abraham Lincoln Radio Studio at the George Washington Broadcast Center,
Jack Armstrong and Joe Getty,
the Armstrong and Getty Show.
Twitter pretty much did everything they could to help Joe Biden. Is big tech going to be investigated once the Republicans take the House?
Absolutely. This is something we've laid down as a marker months ago. We told the big tech companies, save your documents. There are things we've been asking them for months, for over years, that they haven't been sharing with us.
Yeah, I don't know if they're going to find out anything with Twitter that isn't going to be revealed by the new owner of Twitter, Elon Musk, because he is getting all this information to journalist Matt Taibbi. Let's start here on this story. I don't know if you're following it over the weekend, but we'll start this. Elon Musk, speaking at a conference, expressed anxiety about his own safety, saying that there are death threats against him. Frankly, the risk of something bad happening or literally even being shot is quite significant. I'm definitely not going to be doing any open air parades. Let me just put it that
way.
Wow. He didn't get into any of it any further than that. He said, it's not hard to kill me if somebody wanted to, so hopefully they don't.
Wow.
It's a fairly relaxed view of the fact that people are out. I assume he has pretty good security, but
you'd think, but not like presidential security. And not to jump ahead of ourselves, but he's getting demonized as if he's like a slaveholder or a mass rapist or something like that for saying, "Hey, Twitter's going to be have a little lighter touch on the censorship."
Right. So let's read a little bit from some things he said. Is it this morning or yesterday? Throughout history, free speech has been highly unusual, not common. So we have to fight really hard to keep that because it's such a rare thing and it's by no means something that's default. Controlled speech is the default, not free speech. Those comments come one day after the internal communications from leadership inside Twitter were published by journalist Matt Taibbi, where it showed that Twitter allegedly attempted to suppress the New York Post story on the Hunter Biden laptop. As we all know, Twitter took extraordinary steps to suppress the story, removing links and posting warnings that it may be unsafe, Taibbi tweeted, the lefty journalist Matt Taibbi.
Mm-hmm.
They even blocked its transmission via direct message, a tool hitherto reserved only for extreme cases like child pornography, which is something. So they treated the Hunter Biden laptop story like it was child porn in terms of trying to make it impossible for you to share it or tweet it around.
Right. A front page article in the New York Post.
One day later, Elon Musk said the exposed internal communications revealed Twitter was acting like an arm of the Democratic National Committee. We're just going to put all the information out there and try to get a clean slate, Elon said. We will be better, and it will force other media companies to also be more truthful or else they'll lose their readership. Well, we'll see. Taibbi's tweets which were promoted by Elon on Twitter, showed an internal debate within Twitter about their policy regarding hacked materials, as well as fears they'd face accusations of anti-conservative bias. But ultimately, they decided to, squash the laptop story. Also, according to Matt Taibbi, Dorsey, the guy at the top, was not aware of all this stuff. Mm-hmm. They went around his back, so you can't blame Jack Dorsey, the rail thin, homeless looking guy who started Twitter and ran it up until Elon bought it, or up until fairly recently. He didn't know all this was going on. They went behind his back, so the people in charge of making this decision at Twitter must have thought, nah, Jack Dorsey won't go for this. He won't go for squashing a legitimate news story, so we better do it behind his back. Don't you think that's the only conclusion you can come to, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't know what the culture was, how many things were brought up to the boss. I have no idea.
Jack Dorsey did tell U.S. lawmakers, remember when he was questioned about this last year, that he thought it was a mistake for Twitter to censor the story.
Well, yeah, pretty much everybody has now said, yeah, that was a mistake. We shouldn't have done that. That's why I found the Taibbi stuff really interesting in its detail, but it just led me to where I already am. The Twitter is a wildly biased, or was a wildly biased, cabal of mostly liberal people. That their political contributions that Taibbi mentions, something like 97-3, Democrat to Republican, for instance. And so, yeah, they were biased.
Well, to give you an idea where we are now in the world, Matt Taibbi, if you don't know who he is, wrote for Rolling Stone forever and now is with Substack. And he is a lefty journalist. I mean, he is a big Bernie guy. And I have been into his writing for a long time. Super smart, interesting guy, but like super disagree with him on about everything in terms of his political positions. I mean, he's way out there for me. Mm-hmm. But because he was willing to put this information out there from Elon Musk, this is the way he was attacked by at least one New York Times columnist who tweeted this out. Matt Taibbi, what sad, disgraceful downfall. I swear, kids, he did good work back in the day. Should be a cautionary tale for everyone. Selling your soul for the richest white nationalist on earth. Well, he'll eat well for the rest of his life, I guess, but is it worth it?
What the frig are you talking about, you hysterical dope?
From a New York Times columnist, Matt Taibbi just was willing to take the cash, apparently, to support a white Elon Musk's a white nationalist? What are you people talking about?
And all of a sudden, Taibbi's rich? There's been not a shred of evidence he took a dime. What the frig are you talking about? Who was that? What columnist?
I don't know how to pronounce his name. Wajahat Ali.
Oh, yeah, he's full of crap.
Well, that was full of crap. But I'm just giving you an example of the way, the way we go into our camps over this sort of stuff.
That's remarkable.
It is remarkable. It is remarkable. Jack Dorsey says it's a story that should have been covered. Ian Bremmer, also a lefty. Bill Maher, lefty, says it's a story that should have been. Of course it's a story that should have been out there. Right. You're really going out of your way intellectually to claim that that story shouldn't have been allowed to see the light of day. Or you need to do what you were talking about earlier, just be honest. No. I think it's a legitimate story. I was just afraid it would help Trump get elected, and I thought Trump was such a danger that, at least in this instance, we should stop a story from seeing the light of day to keep Trump from being elected. People should just be honest about that.
Right. So I have 2 points, one fairly minor, one fairly major, which I hope will lead us to perhaps the Andy McCarthy piece you were talking about earlier during the show, where he explains why it's so important, the FBI's influence. But anyway, right. Minor point. Taibbi mentions that in one humorous exchange on day one, Democratic Congressman Ro Khanna reaches out to the head of security and misinformation at Twitter, this guy Gaddy, to gently suggest she hop on the phone. Gaddy's a woman, obviously, to talk about the backlash re-speech. Khanna was the only Democratic official I could find who expressed concern. Gaddy replies quickly, immediately diving into the weeds of Twitter policy, unaware Khanna's more worried about the Bill of Rights. Khanna then tries to reroute the conversation to the First Amendment, mention of which generally is hard to find in the files. And I bring this up because I've said critical things about Ro Khanna, but I would like to tip my cap. Ro writes, "Hope you're well, Vijaya. but this seems a violation of the First Amendment principles. If there is a hack of classified information or other information that could expose a serious war crime and the New York Times was to publish it, I think the New York Times should have that right. A journalist should not be held accountable for the illegal actions of the source unless they actively aided the hack. So to restrict the distribution of that material, especially regarding a presidential candidate, does not seem in the keeping of the principles of New York Times versus Sullivan. That's the very famous Pentagon Papers case. I say this as a total Biden partisan and convinced he didn't do anything wrong. But the story has now become more about censorship than relatively innocuous emails, and it's become a bigger deal than it would have been. It is also now leading to serious efforts to curtail Section 230, which is getting into the weeds a bit. But a salute to Rokana for saying, no, the New York Times, the New York Post, rather, absolutely has the right to publish this. And you absolutely don't have the right to quash it, according to some of our most cherished principles of journalism. Ro Khanna, I say to you, I tip my cap.
Yeah, that's good. Now, the angle of whether or not the government actually violated free speech, as in the government's not supposed to get into the role of what's allowed and what's not, did the FBI go too far in warning Twitter and Facebook and others about watch out for Russian misinformation, especially about the Hunter Biden laptop, and then, you know, meeting with them regularly leading up to the election, reminding you one more time, Hunter Biden, Russian information, watch out for it. To what extent did they know the laptop was legit because they had it in their possession, but wanted to make sure the story didn't see the light of day? I don't think we'll ever be able to prove that, but it's pretty freaking troubling.
Yeah, it absolutely is. And that's the part that really matters. If the government is farming out violating free speech, whether through threats, bribes, cajoling, whatever, you know, vague statements that we'd like to be able to help you, but you need to help us. I mean, like mob style saying we can't violate the First Amendment, but you can do it for us.
Right.
That's loathsome.
And leads us to this, and then this will wrap up this conversation in a tidy way for today. Donald Trump truthed out on his own Twitter-like forum this, which has gotten a lot of attention. So, with the revelation of massive and widespread fraud and deception in working closely with big tech companies, the DNC and the Democratic Party, do you throw the presidential election results of 2020 out and declare the rightful winner? Or do you have a new election? A massive fraud of this type and magnitude allows for the termination of all rules, regulations, and articles, even those found in the Constitution. Our great founders did not want and would not condone false and fraudulent elections. I don't think any sitting or former president has ever gone close to that far in talking about throwing out the rules, regulations, and articles of the Constitution because of whatever.
No. No. The stuff to either side of that sentence was arguable.
Yeah, sure.
Defensible.
You know, yeah, I mean, we're
biased
not...
Biased media.
Who's going to declare him the winner? In what way? I mean, that seems pretty unworkable.
Oh, yeah. But getting back to the key sentence, as a massive fraud of this type and magnitude allows for the termination of all rules, regulations, and articles, even those found in the Constitution. No, it doesn't. Absolutely not. Non-starter. Crazy. Batsh.
Ooh,
crazy.
Wow.
Ah, just caught myself.
You came close there.
Everybody would have been devastated if I dropped an S-bomb.
Nobody would have ever been the same.
I know it. the scars. But that is one of the craziest, most stupid things I've ever heard in my life. Please stop talking, Donald. Please go play golf. Please develop golf courses.
One of the craziest and stupidest things you've ever heard.
It is. It's absolutely. It's inexcusable. It's ridiculous.
Elon Musk tweeted out.
It's and beyond that, it's dangerous. Stop it.
I can't.
You know, I was making the argument for a long time that anybody says Trump wants to be a dictator, he's going to overturn the Constitution. I always said, stop it. You're paranoid. Well, you're not helping my argument here, Donnie.
I can't find the exact Elon Musk tweet, but it was something along the lines of. Always stick with the Constitution or something anyway. So for the crazies out there who think Elon's on the side of Trump or trying to get him elected or something like that. Yeah, I don't know. I don't even know what y'all are talking about. This story's a long way from over, though. The Elon media coming after him story is a long way from over. Stay with us. Text line 415-295-KFTC.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if... No. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Armstrong and Getty Show.
So this is from Saturday Night Live. It's a fake Arby's commercial, but the thing you need to know from the visual is they're regularly cutting from the announcer to people there sitting there at the restaurant enjoying their Arby's. Here we go.
It's packed. The Arby's 5 for $10. That's right. You get 5 Arby's roast beef sandwiches for only $10. That's 5 stacked juicy roast beef sandwiches for just $10. What do you have to say about that?
I guess all I have to say is how.
Yeah, that just seems like a lot of roast beef sandwiches for $10.
It's 5 heaping piles of tender roast beef for only 10 measly dollars. Can you even believe it?
Honestly, no.
Bet you never thought $10 could get you 5 mountains of roast beef.
No, that's exactly what we're saying. We don't think it's possible.
Yeah, I just Googled roast beef prices at the grocery store, and it sells for $11 a pound. But you're saying...
We're giving you pound after pound of roast beef for just $10?
Yeah, see, that's what's throwing us off, because if roast beef is $11 a pound, I mean, I know bread is super cheap, but it's not negative dollars.
Arby's is a for-profit business, right? Like, your goal is to make money. So I guess we're wondering, where are you getting all this roast beef?
Arby's, we have the meats.
No. Answer his question. We know you have the meats, but where are you getting the meats?
Also, what kind of meats?
And over at Taco Bell, don't miss the new $5 box.
Wait, what?
Okay, I don't like that you changed the subject to Taco Bell, but now I'm worried about this box, too.
So then it goes to eventually, so now that you see how cheap Taco Bell is, huh? Arby's doesn't seem so bad, does it? That is a question we've all asked. How can you possibly serve a taco that costs this little, or a burger that serves, you know, how are you doing it?
Well, and I don't think you have to be a rich guy or gal to respond to the, here's food you can put in your mouth that costs practically nothing. I mean, you don't have to be a rich person to pretty quickly react with, I'm not sure I want that in my mouth.
Now, I've never eaten Taco Bell, but I understand it's kind of iffy-ish. Is that right?
Oh, it's delicious.
Mm. But, like, Arby's doesn't strike me as weirdly suspect. But no. I do wonder how the prices are so low. Whenever you have, you know, 5 burgers for $5, 5 sandwiches for $5, talked a while back about the Costco rotisserie chicken. There was a whole economic thing about it. It was really interesting how that chicken works at Costco. And it is, they lose money on it, but it brings in X number of people and the average person spends this much money. Okay, so that all makes sense.
Okay, yeah, I can comprehend that.
Same with the hot dog and the pop. They know if you're there, you're probably going to buy this, blah, blah, blah. But that doesn't explain the Arby's or any of these other ones. That's the only thing you sell. You're not also getting me to buy a computer or a mattress while I'm there. So.
Right, right.
You are a for-profit business, aren't you? Buns are cheap, but they're not net money, so how?
Yeah, that was funny, and I love the argument with the announcer guy.
Mounds and mounds of roast beef. Yeah, we get it. We're just wondering how, why, what? If you miss an hour, grab the podcast.
Armstrong and Getty.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because, God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if... No. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Armstrong and Getty Show.
TikTok, it's been banned in some places. India bans it. Should the U.S. consider that? How concerned?
I think we definitely should consider it. The problem is with China, there's no distinction between the government and the private sector. Everybody works for the government one way or another. So TikTok can say, well, we're an independent country. Nonsense. And the second piece is that the Chinese are really into stealing data and collecting data. And this is one huge way to do that. And they're going to have every keystroke, everything you enter, every comment. I think it is very dangerous.
Yeah, I would say the Chinese Communist Party having every keystroke you ever make because you like TikTok.
I think it's notable that that was the voice of Angus King, who is a way lefty. He's a socialist. He calls himself an independent congressman, but he's way left, as I mentioned, and left, right, and center. Everybody agrees that China is a malevolent force, and everybody is so uncomfortable with TikTok. It's remarkable. You made this comment last week, Jack. It's amazing how long it takes to do anything. I mean, everybody's talking about how TikTok is dangerous and they're stealing our data and they're an arm of the tentacle of the Chinese monster. But on the discussion goes.
Right.
On TikTok, mostly.
Don't trust China.
That's right.
Why don't, sir? So a couple of stories, one China-related and one similar. Christopher Wray was in front of the Senate Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Committee a couple of weeks ago, and the story didn't get a lot of attention, but I've kept it around, and that is that the Chinese government is setting up unauthorized, quote-unquote, police stations in U.S. cities to possibly pursue influence operations and to snatch people off the streets or to terrorize people or whatever. And Christopher Wray, the FBI director, said, I'm very concerned about this. We're aware of the existence of these stations. To me, it's outrageous to think that the Chinese police would attempt to set up shop, you know, in New York, let's say, without proper coordination. It violates sovereignty and circumvents standard judicial and law enforcement cooperation processes. And they're looking into it. The report from a European human rights organization said the stations are an extension of Beijing's effort to pressure some Chinese nationals or their relatives abroad to return to China to face criminal charges. So essentially, they're opening up police stations in the United States and rounding up Chinese citizens. Or others.
Yeah, and we talked about how they're doing that around the world, but the fact that it's happening in the United States is really amazing.
And what's crazy is this is not a bigger story.
Right.
I don't, just the xenophilia of the American media, I don't know if that's it or whatever, that if it's foreign, it must be good, and you can't defend America, because then you look like one of those stupid right-wing patriots. And then this story, equally shocking, I think, a rise in Iranian assassination and kidnapping plots are alarming Western officials. They mention in Canada, in Europe, and in others, other countries, the Iranian government has stepped up its effort to kidnap and kill government officials, activists, and journalists around the world, including in the U.S., according to governmental documents and interviews with 15 officials in Washington, Europe, and the Middle East who spoke on the condition of anonymity to discuss sensitive information. Tehran has targeted former senior U.S. government officials, dissidents who have fled the country for the U.S., Britain, Canada, Turkey, and Europe, media organizations critical of the regime, and Jewish civilians or those with links to Israel, according to the officials and government documents. Iran's intelligence and security services rely largely on proxies to carry out their plans, offering hundreds of thousands of dollars to jewel thieves, drug dealers, and other criminals in murder-for-hire schemes. The hands-off approach has probably caused some operations to fail, the official said, as plots have been disrupted, and in some cases the hired hitmen appear to have gotten cold feet and never carried out their orders, but they're seeing more and more of it. Yipes, you got the Republican Guard hiring a local drug-dealing gang to snuff somebody because they've been critical of the Iranian regime. Yikes.
Did you see Macron on 60 Minutes last night?
I did not.
I don't know what I think about the turtleneck sweater, and it's probably not the most important part.
Arguably, no, it's not. He is French, in his defense.
He sounded very, very committed to the idea of supporting Ukraine and how it's in their own backyard and they have experience in France with being invaded by an enemy and all that sort of stuff, which is all true. But
mm-hmm.
What about all those stories about how, yeah, you commit this money, but then you never follow through on any of things?
Yeah, they're not as bad as the Germans, but they're not great.
Yeah. On that
well, maybe race. That's, you know. What was the saying about the donkey that brays or the dog that didn't? I can't remember. It has to do with the person making the most noise is usually the person doing the least.
Ah, really? Okay.
I'm not saying that's the case because I haven't checked into it lately, but yeah, that's a pretty good reason to make a big, loud public pronouncements about what a great guy you are because you're not really a great guy.
Gotcha. I have a soccer question. I didn't watch the World Cup, and I'm probably not going to now that the United States is out. If they'd have made it to the next round, I probably would have gotten sucked into it like everyone else. I'm not really into soccer, so I don't know what I'm watching. It's just a bunch of people running around on a field to me. But so I just saw that 70% of the penalty kick, shootout kick things where it's just like you and the goalie, 70% have been going in. They've been making 70% of them. So it,
that actually sounds a little low to me, but go on.
Really? So that's what I was asking as a guy who doesn't know anything about soccer. Does the goalie have any ability to do anything other than guess either jump left or right?
No. It's funny you should bring that up. I was talking to a big soccer fan buddy of mine. I hate the penalty kick thing to end a game, to decide a game. It's idiotic.
Well, that's why I was going to say, if it is just a guess, you guess left or right, that doesn't seem like a good way to end the game.
No, No, you could argue you're reading the player's eyes and his footwork, and but the goalie's not supposed to leave until the ball is kicked, till it's been struck. He's not supposed to move at all.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. Hmm. You've got to be stock still in that ready position until the ball is kicked, which means the goalie guesses left or right and dives in that direction. And my buddy, the soccer fan, said a lot of players now are kicking it directly at the goalie because they know he's going to dive right or left, guessing one or the other.
They just now came up with that move? It seems pretty
That's
obvious.
Clever. Yeah. I don't know. It's so stupid because, again, 70% of the time they score, and again, that seems lowish to me, but it's dopey. It's a different thing. It's like, ending a baseball game with a home run derby or a race to second base or something like that. Play on, you big wusses.
Or the way the NFL used to be, where it was practically who won the toss if you had a good field goal kicker.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I don't know. I don't have a better plan. I'm not that big a soccer fan, but
I guess part of the argument for these sorts of things would be you got to end it at some point. I mean, we all been here for 3 hours. We got to wrap this thing up.
Yeah. I got a thing I got to go to. well, remove the goalies then. Play without goalies. Guys have to defend the goal with their head and their body and their feet. No arms. Increases the chance of a goal. I don't know, something. Just not that stupid goal kick thing.
So I was actually going to have Michael or Hansen, our producer, edit up some stuff about the World Cup. But when we lost, the steam kind of went out of it. But John Oliver from, what's his show, Last Week Tonight?
Mm-hmm.
Something like that. Really, really good. It's just, he does long form, hilarious critiques of things. And he had a segment on the World Cup and FIFA and how that all came to be that was just amazing. 60 Minutes should have done that kind of coverage.
Wow.
And it was also funny. But just, you know, as we've been talking about, you've been talking about how corrupt that is and everything like that. But it's well beyond that. I mean, it's just absolutely incredible what a farce it is that it's some sort of purity of sport bringing people together and rising above our differences. Just crap.
Yeah, here's your quote from me. It's not an organization that exists to put on soccer tournaments and takes bribes. It's an organization that exists to take bribes,
yeah.
And they happen to put on soccer tournaments.
Yeah, as John Oliver said, several of the members of the committee that decided who got the tournament allegedly took $1 million each for making the decision. John Oliver said, I'm not saying they did take bribes to make the decision, but what I am saying is they took bribes to make the decision.
Yes.
Because that is exactly what happened.
Clearly they did. Of course they did.
Of course they did. And you might, too, if you're in that position. You think, what the hell freaking difference does it make whether Dubai gets it or Cape Town or Paris? What do I care? I'm going to see a nice family set up. I might even think that. What the hell difference does it make? I don't care.
Yeah, they got enough stadiums or they don't. I don't know. They'll build them. I don't know.
Right.
I think they sold their votes a little cheap, honestly. I mean, there's a zillion dollars involved in this stuff, and Qatar is trying to become not an oil and nothing but oil sandy backwater. They're trying to become, you know, a nation that people know about. So there are billions, hundreds of billions of dollars involved.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not selling you my vote for $1 million. Come back to me when you got a real offer, King What's Your Face.
And nobody that's actually from that country has to work, so everybody they brought in to build all these stadiums came from some other country under just god-awful conditions. They had the video of just living in these dormitories without running water and good toilets and all that sort of stuff and working in 125 degree heat and people dying by the dozens and just to force all these stadiums to be built on time.
Yeah, I can't remember what they said the death toll was to get ready for the World Cup, but it was either hundreds or a few thousand of these migrant workers.
Well, nobody really knows for sure, which is part of the point, is they covered it all up. The purity of sport.
Right.
You gotta love it.
All that for a game that ends 1-0.
Michael.
Exactly. We will finish strong next.
Armstrong and Getty.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. because, God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rock the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James! LeBron James!
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Armstrong and Getty Show.
An Apple factory in China is expected to cut production of iPhones by 6 million in response to ongoing worker protests. The workers' main demand is more playtime. I'm shocked too, guys.
I like that. I'm shocked too.
Wow.
Yeah, I know there is that they got children making the iPhones. The hilarious lighter side of child slavery.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Nice folks to be in bed with, the communist Chinese.
This is a grim story, but it's pretty interesting. A guy jumped to his death at Disneyland on Saturday. Turns out he's a local high school principal. Huntington Beach school principal. Jumped to his death from the parking garage at Disneyland. And it would seem it was not like spur of the moment. It was planned out. Why would you decide I'm going to kill myself in front of people, including lots of kids, at Disneyland? I'm not going to mention his name because he's obviously troubled. Found dead after someone reported a man fell from the parking structure. But when they found the suicide note, I mean, came more clear that it was on purpose.
Yeah. I mean, obviously his thinking was troubled since he did what he did, but Disneyland.
Right. He was principal at Newland Elementary School, left a lengthy post on his Facebook page on Saturday. It was later Saturday that he jumped from the parking structure there at Disneyland. God, I want something higher, too. I know after, like, you don't have to be very high that you've reached maximum speed. Mm-hmm. But I still feel like I want something higher.
Oh, I don't even want to think about this. I'm getting vertigo. I got to put my feet on the floor. How high is that parking structure? I don't remember.
I don't know.
Might not have been built when we brought our kids.
I've never been to Disneyland.
Huh.
The principal posted a lengthy post on Facebook on Saturday. I hate when people leave this earth with so many unanswered questions, so I hope this provides some insight and perspective, he wrote. The note described a dispute in which police had been summoned. I am on the brink of losing my job, he said, so here I am, writing my final Facebook post to all of you. I need you all to know that a gentle, kind, loving, and sincerely good man has been destroyed by one unfortunate night. I don't know what happened that night.
How unfortunate.
Right.
Yeah, what's he talking about?
According to the Orange County Superior Court records, he was charged on November 22nd with misdemeanor counts of child endangerment and battery. He pleaded not guilty to both charges. Court records show the alleged acts were believed to have occurred on November 15th. He was taken into custody, posted $10,000 bond, released. Details not available at this time. He was due in court today. I think it's interesting. If you didn't do it, man, show up on Monday and make your best case.
Or if you did do it, pick up the pieces and figure out what the next chapter of your life is. I mean, obviously, it's a nightmare scenario. The guy's an educator, so if indeed he's guilty of some sort of crimes involving a child, he's probably screwed career-wise, but I don't know. So therefore, I'm going to hurl myself to my death?
Well, and I'm being destroyed for one bad night. Well, there are lots of people in prison for what they could describe as one bad night or day or morning or whatever.
Or decision, sure.
Yeah, that's just the way it works sometimes.
The crime is not like the career Oscar where you recognize somebody for the body of their work. Although to some extent it is, because you got to commit so many crimes to get caught generally.
Yeah, but a big one. Like you lose it and murder your boss.
For instance.
You know, up until 5 o'clock this afternoon when he murdered Jim, he's a perfectly all right dude. Doesn't really do you that much good.
He had one bad day where he murdered his boss.
Right. So how about the decision, though, then the next step with all this, how you were destroyed by one bad night and everything like that? Why'd you jump off the parking structure in front of kids at Disneyland? I don't want my kids to see that.
Now, I fear and dislike the Disney Corporation, but not the youngsters at the park.
No. Oof.
Oof.
Anyway, thought that was interesting.
Want the show to be over, but I am ready to listen to the final thought from Armstrong and Getty. Yeah.
Draymond Green says LeBron James is better than Michael Jordan. Discuss amongst yourselves. Here's your host for Final Thoughts, Joe Getty.
Oh, my. Hey, let's get a final thought from everybody on the crew to wrap things up for the day. It's a little tradition around here, beginning with our technical director, Michelangelo. Michael?
Yeah, I don't know what it is about this year, but I'm really getting into Christmas. I got all my Christmas shopping done. I've got Christmas lights up. I've got a Christmas tree up. I've gone all out this year.
Good for you. You just need one thing. Kids.
Yeah.
Crank out some kids.
Jack, a final thought for us?
I'm the exact opposite, and I have kids. Haven't done a damn thing. Just said to my son, both of my kids yesterday, yeah, I really ought to make a list of some stuff you want or whatever. Got no tree, got no gifts, got no idea for gifts. Running out of time.
My final thought is for the past 4 nights, my bride and I have gone out socializing, partying, if you will. She actually has a thing tonight.
Wow. Five nights in a row.
I do not. I would like to make this clear. If you are a Homo sapien, leave me alone. Tonight.
Well, I was wondering, how are you feeling after 4 straight nights of partying?
Well,
night
a big,
after night?
Big, like, annual meeting for an organization, too. I've had enough humanity.
Mm-hmm.
Me and my dog, and perhaps Monday Night Football.
Kind of hard to keep the eating under control when you go to a bunch of shindigs,
Lord.
Also.
Yeah, don't even ask me.
Don't even ask you.
And there was a bit of imbibing. At no point was I ever drunk or disorderly or anything, but after a while, it starts to wear down the old physique.
Armstrong and Getty wrapping up another grueling 4-hour workday. You got to work on your beach body. I mean, it'll be spring before you know it.
Yeah. Might get harpooned. You hear me talking? So Armstrong and Getty wrapping up 4 hours. Go to armstrongandgetty.com, would you? Got some great hot links there. You can pick up some A&G swag in time for Christmas.
We will see you tomorrow. God bless America.
Armstrong and Getty.
Did you not hear anything I said, you ninny?
I think that you may be over-egging the pudding a bit.
Surprise, surprise.
It's outrageous.
And so grotesque.
I'm gonna call my lawyer. Gonna.
Oh, so go over there and kick their commie asses.
Lighten up, Francis.
Have a day, boys. Have a day.
On that high note, thank you all very much.
Armstrong and Getty.
Diamonds Direct Spring Sale starts this weekend. Get 20% off rings, earrings, pendants, bracelets, and more. It's the best store-wide sale of the season. Plus, book an appointment and get an additional $100 off. That's 20% off plus $100 off store-wide. And enjoy an expanded selection of the latest styles with designer appearances each weekend. Tons of engagement rings on sale, too. 20% off. Starts Friday and opens Sundays. Details at DiamondsDirect.com.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.